Today's reading is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 8, which is found on page 970 of the Church Bibles. Matthew 6, beginning at verse 5. "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." This is the word of the Lord.
Great. Well, this morning we're in the second of our New Year essentials. Last week we thought about the Bible, the Word of God, and the need to be reading it, sitting under it, submitting to God's Word. This morning we're thinking about prayer. And let me begin by praying for us. Father, we pray, please, that you would teach us now as we come to your Word, that we would be ready to hear Jesus' instruction about prayer, and not just hear it, but put it into practice. Amen. Great. Are we on Apple TV? Thank you. Being a Christian... Ah, that was brief. There we go. Being a Christian is, at heart, not only about believing certain biblical truths. It is that, but it is not only that. And it is good and it is right that people have been prepared even to give their lives for the sake of biblical truths, but being a Christian is not just about agreeing with or believing in certain biblical truths. It is also not just about performing certain religious acts, though they may be very good acts. They may be things that Jesus commands us to do, like baptism or communion. But being a Christian is not just about that. Nor is it about obeying certain rules, although obedience is really important in the Christian life. You see, you could do all those things. You could agree with biblical truths, you could perform religious acts, and you could obey rules and not be a Christian. No, you see, being a Christian, according to the Sermon on the Mount, which is where that reading was just taken from, according to Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, being a Christian is at heart about being in a father-child relationship with God. That is, after all, what Jesus came to earth to win for you and me. We often say Jesus, and we're right to say, Jesus came to die that we might be forgiven. And that is true. But forgiveness was not the end goal in and of itself, as if we were simply let out of jail to go free. No. Jesus won our forgiveness so that we could come to God. We often use this verse after we've confessed our sins to God. We use this verse, which says this. It's in 1 Peter 3:18. "For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God." Why did Jesus die? Well, yes, he did die to forgive us. But why? To bring you and me to God, that we might come into relationship with him. A father-child relationship with the living God. And there are several ways in the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus explains to us how we're to live that relationship out day by day. And a key one is prayer. In fact, I think you could say the most intimate, the closest thing that we can do in our relationship with God is to pray to him. That's how we live out our father-child relationship with God. Now we're going to look at those verses. We're going to get into those verses that were read, verses 5 to 8 of Matthew chapter 6. But just as we start, I did just want to say, I think for all of us probably, when the subject of prayer is raised, our natural tendency is just to feel guilty. Because I think most of us, it's probably unlikely that there is anyone here who feels, yes, my prayer life is absolutely the way it should be. And that's true for me too. That none of us feel we've got this sussed. But it's good then to bring that to God and to confess to God and say sorry to God. And then at the beginning of 2020, to say, well, let's make a fresh start. Let's renew our desire and our enthusiasm to be praying to God, our Heavenly Father. So we're going to turn to this passage and we're going to see in it there are two mistakes that Jesus highlights that we could be making in our prayer lives. There are two mistakes that he says, two bear traps we might fall into. And for both of them, he then gives the solution. And what you find is that both bear traps, actually, both mistakes that we can make, turn prayer from being about us relating to our Heavenly Father into something else. It twists prayer, changes prayer into something else. And the solution is always to come back to prayer being, us talking to our Heavenly Father. So, what are the warnings? What are the bear traps? First is this. Don't pray to impress. Don't pray to impress. There in verse 5, have a look. It says, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. So back then, in the synagogues, there would have been times of public prayer. Members of the public, members of the synagogue could stand up and could lead the congregation in prayer. And there were some, Jesus is saying, who loved to do that. When there was the opportunity to lead everyone in prayer, they would love to be the ones to get up and lead prayer. And what's that about praying on the street corners? Well, if you were a Jew, a devout Jew, would pray three times a day at set times of the day. And if you particularly wanted to be seen by people, well, you'd make sure you were outside, maybe walking along the street, and it happens to be that time. Oh, and if you really wanted to be seen by people, you make sure you happen to get to the street corner at that moment, because at that point, you can be seen by people from several directions. And so you get to stand there on the street corner, oh, I just happened to be here, and I better pray at this point, and you get to be seen by lots of people. Well, Jesus says of such people, verse 5, second half of verse 5, I tell you the truth, they've received their reward in full. What did they want? Public recognition? To impress people? Well, they've got that, Jesus is saying. Well, okay, what about us? What's your motivation in praying? Well, we need to hear this warning. There are some of us who do lead prayers from the front, and we need to be very careful what our motivation for praying is. This mistake is to view prayer as a stage, isn't it? As a platform for other people to see it. But I would imagine that's probably not most people's problem. That's probably not what most of us are feeling about prayer. But yet we can fall into this trap and it not be exactly in that way. After all, I wonder how many of us would think, you know what, the last thing I would want to do is to pray up front. Or actually to go to a prayer gathering, prayer focus at the beginning of each month. The last thing I'd want to do is that. Why? Because I don't want to make a fool of myself. I don't want to say things which everybody's going to think are stupid. Which actually, do you see that still viewing prayer as being a stage? It's just that I don't want to go on that stage. I don't want to make a fool of myself. So actually, we can fall into this trap and not be quite like this. What's our motivation in praying? Do we view prayer as a stage? Well, what's the answer? Jesus says, don't pray to impress, but rather pray to your Father in secret. That's the solution. Pray in private. You see, for someone for whom prayer is about being on the stage, it's probably unlikely that they're going to be doing any prayer in secret on their own with God. Now, Jesus isn't banning public prayer, public prayer gatherings. After all, in the Lord's Prayer, which he gives in verse 9, the Lord's Prayer begins, Our Father. He's assuming people are going to pray it together. So he's not banning people from praying in groups. Rather, what Jesus is saying here is that for Christians, there must be private, secret prayer. And when he says, but when you pray, verse 6, go into your room and close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. The word for the room there is probably the room, it's a storeroom, which is a room which would have no windows. So this is saying, go to that room where there is no chance of people even happening to look through the window at you. It's so secret, people can't even stumble across you sort of praying. And if you do that, you're clearly not praying to impress others. Now, how are you doing on this? Many of us probably will say, you know what? My schedule is so frantic. I'm so busy. The idea of me getting time on my own, in a room on my own, just to pray, is so incredibly unlikely. I just can't do it. And maybe you would say, well, my work is so important that I just can't do it. My family, I've got to prioritize them. Can I just take you to, would you turn with me to Luke chapter 5? Keep a hand in Matthew 6. Turn to Luke chapter 5 and verses 15 and 16. So that's page 1032. Page 1032, Luke chapter 5, verse 15. Now you need to know the context here. The context is Jesus has just healed someone from leprosy. Miraculous healing from leprosy. Verse 15 of chapter 5 says, Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. Okay, so crowds of people are coming to Jesus. Because he's healed someone, I mean, you would as well, if you knew people who were ill and you knew that Jesus was there and he's just healing people miraculously, you'd bring people as well. So there are crowds of people gathering around Jesus. Presumably, he could have been healing people morning, noon and night. He could have been doing it 24 hours a day. The need was there. And yet it says, verse 16, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Don't you think that's interesting? I think the interesting word there is often. Luke, when he's writing this, he tells us at the beginning of his gospel, he talked to eyewitnesses about Jesus to get his accounts of what Jesus was doing. And I just think it's interesting that Luke writes down, but yet Jesus often went to lonely places to pray. What would that mean? Of all the people Luke was talking to about Jesus' life, that must have been, there'd been lots of them saying, yeah, Jesus did this, he did that, he did the other. But you know what? Actually, quite often, he would go and just be on his own praying. And what does it mean for him to do it often? I mean, that's not just once a year, is it? I mean, that's Jesus doing this a lot. And he would go to lonely places. This isn't just Jesus sort of just occasionally praying on the way to going and helping someone. This is Jesus going off on his own to places where he's just on his own, just to be with his Heavenly Father. So when in Matthew 6, you can flick back to that now if you like. So when in Matthew 6, Jesus says, go into that storeroom, be on your own, talk to your Heavenly Father. He's saying, be like me. You may think you've got a hectic schedule. Jesus had a very hectic schedule. He could have spent all his time with other people, which isn't to say that other people weren't important to him. They were, but he said, actually, my priority is I've got to spend time with my Father on my own. So how do you go about doing this? It's going to change for us. Different stages of life, different times in our lives, different pressures, it's going to look different for us. So you can't just look at the way someone else does their prayer life and think, well, I'll do what they do, because that may not work for you. If you're a mum or a dad, you know, with young children, little children, very demanding, when do you get time for yourself? Well, maybe you don't get any time. Maybe you get hardly any time. Can it be even just a couple of minutes in the day where you can just be on your own and pray and make that a priority. Mums and dads, can you help each other to give each other that space to be able to do that? Maybe for you it's work. Work is just frantically busy. You get up early, you come home late, and it is really busy. Is there a storeroom at work? I mean, is there literally a storeroom at work where you could go just for a few minutes each day to pray and say, actually, I'm going to spend time with God there? Or is there something else that you can do? Maybe you can carve out that time. Maybe you need to make that time to say, what is my priority time? To say, I'm going to spend time with the Lord on my own, day by day. And notice the promise, will you? End of verse 6, then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. How? What's the reward? I don't know. Is it treasures in heaven that Jesus promises later on? Might be. Is it rewards in this life of a closer relationship with God or other things? Yeah, maybe. I don't know. The promise is there, though, isn't it? So let's take God up on that promise. Spend time with him alone. So that's the first bear trap. Don't pray to impress. Pray to your Father in secret. Second, don't pray to manipulate. Don't pray to manipulate God. So verse 7. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Okay, this attitude is the attitude of prayer like a jack-in-the-box. Yeah, so the jack-in-the-box, child's toy, you wind the handle, and if you wind it enough, pop, out comes the jack-in-the-box. And that's treating God like that. Not treating God as a heavenly father, but treating God as a jack-in-the-box. That basically, if I pray, and if I keep praying, and if I pray the same words over and over again, and maybe if I do it enough, then pop, God will come up and do what I want. Now, that's a danger for us. It clearly rules out certain things, like sort of praying to God by just repeating the same thing over and over and over again, trying to persuade God to do what I want, Tibetan prayer wheels or mindless going through the rosary, that kind of thing. It's clearly ruled out with this kind of thing. But actually, we can do this as well. I mean, going through the Lord's Prayer, we prayed the Lord's Prayer earlier. Easy just to go through it and not engage at all with what you're saying, isn't it? And it's just a going through it. Those of us who like more liturgical worship, there's a danger there, isn't it, of using set prayers. Not that Jesus has any problem with set prayers. After all, he gives us the Lord's Prayer. And there's a whole book in the Bible of set prayers. That's not a problem. But it's when we use them in a way where we're just going through them, not thinking about it, just going through them. But actually, those of us who like to pray spontaneously as well, who think that's a better way of praying, who engage with that better, we've got a danger of that as well, isn't it? Haven't we? After all, if there's a crisis in your life, there's something that you're praying for, don't you ever at times just think, well, maybe the reason why I haven't had the answer to prayer that I want is because I haven't prayed the right way, I haven't prayed enough times, I haven't prayed with enough sincerity. Maybe if I engage with it in the right way, I can wind the handle enough and God will pop out and do what I want. Prayer is manipulating God. We can all be engaged in that. Well, what's the solution? Don't pray to manipulate, but pray to your Father who knows what you need. Jesus says, pray to your Father, verse 8. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. You and I, we need to know that when we're talking to God, we're talking to our Heavenly Father, and he knows what you need. You're not informing him of what you need, let alone trying to manipulate him. You know, God knows your situation. He knows your health needs better than you do. He knows your family problems. He knows your marriage problems. He knows your work needs. He knows it all far better than you do. You're not informing God. And we're not manipulating a grudging God who's got to be won round, as if God's saying it sort of in the corner, I really can't be bothered with you at the moment. And we say, oh, God, please, you know, if I go on and on, he goes, all right, I'll look your way. We're not dealing with a God like that. He knows you. He loves you. And he knows your needs. And we do need to emphasize that, because when we start to talk about our relationship with God as being like a heavenly father, one of the problems that some of us will have is that actually we then think automatically of our relationship with our earthly father, our human father. And maybe for some here, that relationship was very difficult and maybe still is. and very painful. And therefore, when you think my relationship with God is like a father-child relationship, you might think, well, actually, that brings up a whole load of pain. We need to remember that actually the father-child relationship we have with God is a perfect one. And even the very best human father-child relationship is only a shadow of that relationship that we can have with God. With the God who knows us and loves us, and loves us so much he sent his son to die for us. That is the perfect relationship we have. So we don't need to manipulate God or persuade him round. We just need to talk to him. Now, this raises a couple of questions. Sometimes people will ask, well, if God knows what I need, why do I need to ask him for things? And I think, again, the answer is it's down to developing your father-child relationship with God. A father with a child often gives that child things that they don't ask for, because the child needs those things and maybe doesn't realize they need them and doesn't ask from the father, just gives them. And our Heavenly Father gives us loads that we don't ask for. But sometimes God withholds things, holds things back, so that we will talk to him, so that we will engage with him and ask him for things, and then gives them to us. So I think the answer to that is God wants us to relate to him. He loves us and wants it to be an ongoing relationship. Second question sometimes people ask is, if God is loving and knows my needs, why sometimes don't I get what I ask for? And again, the answer is that God is our Heavenly Father. And we need to trust him that he knows best. Indeed, he knows better than we do what we need. We may not understand why God hasn't answered our prayers in the way we wanted, but there must be a good reason. The reason certainly isn't because you didn't crank the wheel enough, crank the handle enough to get him to pop out. So what difference does this make to your praying? We need to learn to talk to God, don't we? Talk to God as our Heavenly Father. Ask him for things we need. Nothing too small to ask him about, nothing too big to talk to him about. And know that God's attitude is one of love towards you, of the perfect loving Father who longs to hear you pray, and who said he'll listen to you and will answer you. That's incredible, isn't it? The God of the universe saying, I love you, I will listen to you, I will answer you. And we need to apply this as a church family as well, because we need to gather together to pray. Will you make a point of joining in the prayer focuses? First Wednesday of the month, 8 o'clock. It's only 1 hour a month. It's not a huge amount. Will you make a priority of that? Prayer breakfasts, we do them once a term. Will you sign up for them when they come up? Can you make it to one of them? Could you make it to half of one of them? I don't mind if you turn up halfway through a prayer meeting. If it just means you're going to be there to pray, that would be great. We need to see as a church that we need to come to God with our needs and our desires and what we want to pray to God. After all, don't we want to see more and more people turn to Jesus in faith? Well, we need to come together and talk to our Father about that. We need to remember, prayer is talking to our Heavenly Father. Don't let it be reduced to anything else for you or for us as a church family. Don't make it a stage to impress people. Don't sink into treating prayer like a jack-in-the-box. Talk to your Heavenly Father. And I want you just to think, what difference is this going to make? What difference is it going to make to you this week? What difference is this going to make to you today? Just think for a moment. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray, please, that you would help us in our praying. Father, we're sorry where we get it wrong, where we use prayer for our own glory to impress others, or where we treat prayer like a jack-in-the-box and just think that by going on we can get our own way. Father, please help us to come back to you and pray to you as our Heavenly Father, and grow in our relationship with you. Help us to do that individually. Help us to do that as a church family. Amen.